This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And now it's time for the Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook pregame show with Score Morning Show co-host David Haw from the Mully and Haw Show, Bears long snapping Iron Man Patrick Manley, and Score football expert and former NFL player Anthony Heron on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app, brought to you by Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the Chicago Bears. Download the Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook app today.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome to the Score's pregame show right here on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app presented by Bet Rivers. Download the Bet Rivers app today. I am David Haw filling in for Mully, enjoying a nice holiday weekend. Christmas Eve it is today. Look at the calendar, but you look outside, there's going to be football. Alongside Patrick Manley, Anthony Heron, as they are usually here before Bears games, trying to keep you warm today on what could be a historically cold day out on the lakefront. Good morning, guys. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning, guys. I woke up this morning excited to watch this game. Like you said, David, this is a game that could be a little bit of a history, but I'm also one that love watching games in weather like this, as cold as it's going to be, but also the wind. I mean, this could be a game where it could kind of neutralize this game a little bit, maybe in favor for the Bears if a bounce goes the wrong way or a pass goes the wrong way for Josh Allen. But I'm excited to watch this game. I'm excited to watch Justin Fields compete against maybe a future that looks like Josh Allen. So it's going to be a fun game.
I'm really eager to see how, obviously, how Justin Fields responds every week in all conditions, but how the Bears in general end up responding to the weather that's here. I wonder what the crowd will look like at Soldier Field. Obviously, multiple factors involved in that, not only the weather, but it being Christmas Eve. But I wonder what the environment, what the atmosphere will be like out there as well. But the conditions are going to be rough. It's going to be difficult out there just for the human body to function, let alone function at a high level like you hope to be able to during a National Football League game. So, you know, it's going to be interesting, going to be entertaining in one way or another.
For a 3-11 football team, I think it's an opportunity because you do have elements that might even the playing field, if you will, because there's going to be flukish things that might happen. Much like the first game of the season, guys. I mean, you go back to the 49ers game, and let's face it, this was a victory over the 49ers that was helped by the elements. Likewise, today, the only reason you get Bears a chance, I think, against the Bills is because fluky things could happen. You just don't know how both teams are going to respond to this. The only problem is, if there was one team in the NFL that was well-equipped and suited for the elements, it would be the team from Buffalo. And they know what winter feels like in Buffalo. So Bears weather or not, this is the wrong opponent maybe for these elements.
Yeah, but I still think the biggest thing to me, guys, is playing at Soldier Field is that wind. If that wind starts whipping up to 35, 40 miles an hour, you can't account for that. You can account for the cold. You can practice in the cold. You know, in Buffalo, they practice there. Up there at Hallis Hall, they do. But when you get elements like that with the wind gusting in that stadium, that can cause issues. That can cause it being trouble with the passing game. That can cause flukish interceptions, dropped kicks, muffed kicks, dropped punts, you know, punt snaps, things like that. So that's the element that could make a difference here. You know, you talk about the 49ers game, the rain and all that kind of stuff. I don't think it was as windy as it's going to be today, but that's the one element to me when I played at Soldier Field that could neutralize games.
And the entire game will be a new learning experience, and that matters. You know, even something like, you know, when Justin Fields injured his non-throwing shoulder, and the discussion centered around whether or not he would return, should he return, and should the Bears want him to return, and those sorts of things. And you know, that's an experience that will this has been an experience that will benefit Justin Fields throughout the remainder of his career, because you will have stretches in the NFL where you have to play banged up, where you have to play through an injury. Will it always be to the non-throwing shoulder? We certainly hope it won't be to any shoulders. But in some way, to be able to figure out, how does my game adjust? How does my game evolve in this current environment that I'm in, with my body feeling the way it does right now? And then you certainly factor in today's elements to that as well, because if Justin Fields ends up being the Bears quarterback for a long time here, which a lot of folks, myself included, are hoping is going to be the case, then it's not the last cold game he's going to play in. And even the lesson from last game about just recognizing the level of hydration that's still necessary in his body in extreme cold, this is going to be far more extreme cold and extreme weather conditions than what they faced last week. And so how does his body react? How does his game evolve and react in these conditions? Because imagine if, you know, we're to the point where you get similar conditions to this in a playoff game.
Yes.
Like I recall, I played in the NFC Championship game in 2004 against the Philadelphia Eagles. And that game was in Philly, and it was frigid. And, you know, the Eagles had been in that environment for multiple years prior to that. It was the third of the three consecutive NFC title games that Donovan McNabb had led the Eagles to. And frankly, the Eagles were just more ready for that. You know, we're a dome team in Atlanta, and they had been on that stage over and over again. The Eagles handled the environment better than we did in that game. And so these are lessons. These are things that you want to be able to put on your resume and figure out how you handle that moving forward.
We're going to find out how everyone's going to handle things on the sidelines. Mark Grody, our guy from Soldier Field, will check in at 9:40. Also, 10:40, Steve Tasker will give us a lowdown on the Bills because he knows them very well, former Bill himself. And then 11:40, as usual, Dan Pompey will check in right before kickoff. And guys, Big Ant, you alluded to it. You have played in this kind of weather. Patrick, I want to start with you because it's the most recent example that has come up often this week. The last time I think it has been this cold at Soldier Field for a football game was your last season in uniform as the longest tenured Bear. I don't know if there's a connection between the fact that on December 9th, 2013, it was as cold as it was against the Cowboys on the night they retired Mike Ditka's jersey, and three games later you called it a career, but it was one of the coldest days.
That's called a stretch there.
Well, what do you remember about that night, and how similar do you think today will be to that?
I just remember that being bitterly cold. It wasn't as windy. It was just kind of that just frigid chill, you know, without the wind. But I want to go back to what you said, Anthony. One thing about that is playing as long as I did in Chicago and Soldier Field, I was ready for that game. I knew what to wear. I knew how to dress. I knew how to use the sideline heaters, how to put the hand muff and the heaters in my hand. Like, I knew what I was doing. And Dallas coming in as a dome team, you could tell they were a little shocked, didn't know what was going on. And I think this is a great opportunity for Justin Fields to have a learning experience, to simple things, to literally, like, what kind of footwear do you wear? How many socks do you wear? To, like, how many undershirts do you wear? To what do you wear under your helmet? All that kind of stuff. But, David, to go back to that game, it's just we were a veteran team at that point, and I think we knew how to deal with the elements better than a team like Dallas coming in. And like you said earlier, with Buffalo coming in, they play in this stuff. So that's not going to be that big of a deal of what to wear, shoe-wise, all that kind of stuff. They'll figure all that out. But, that's those games like that, when they were that cold and you had dome teams come in or warm-weather teams come in, you could see it in their face in warm-ups when you're going out there before you put the pads on and they're trying to figure out, like, what is this? They might have done a walk the night before around the hotel, but it's still not the same as walking out in Soldier Field at 9:30 or 10 o'clock in the morning.
And seriously, your body doesn't want to move.
No.
you get out there and your mind is trying to convince your limbs to function, and they just don't want to. You know, the information from your brain moves a lot slower, and then once it reaches whichever body part it's trying to control, it still just doesn't move in the same way. It's not as quick. It's not as explosive. So even things like, you know, how does the passing game adjust? Not only because of the ball in flight, but just think about the route tree. How much longer does it take a receiver to get that depth before they end up breaking on an in cut, on a dig or something? Like, what was it, the first 3rd and 10 of the game last week, where just that beautiful timing from Justin Fields to Equanimeous St. Brown, and the ball hits him right in the numbers. And, all right, first down after they're operating from behind the chains. I doubt there's going to be a lot of passes that look that pretty, that are in that level of rhythm and on time like that in today's game.
I tend to agree with that, and I think conventional wisdom says to expect that. And then, Patrick, I go back to that night
yeah.
in 2013. I expected the same thing like everybody else. A conservative game plan, difficult throwing the ball. The Bears scored on the first eight possessions. Yeah. The Bears scored 45 points. Josh McCown threw for 343, I believe. This was not what we expected. This was not what the weather suggested. So I don't know if today, whether it's Josh Allen or Justin Fields, one quarterback or both could go crazy offensively in a way that is unpredictable. I think that's the fun and fascination of watching a game like this, because it is an opportunity and there is precedent for things happening that you just can't account for.
Yeah, and it scares me too that it's going to be Josh Allen, just because he's been been through it so many times, and with how outmanned the Bears defense is, and Stephon Diggs and Jalen Johnson being out and Kendall Vildor being on, all those DBs, you're going to have some young guys out there that, to me, this is a game that scares me that it's going to be him. And this might just be a learning experience for Justin. This might be one where he steps back a little bit and we're like, okay, why? Let's look at the elements. Let's look at, you know, maybe he's figuring out how to play in this game. But it does. It scares me with Josh Allen and that Buffalo Bills team, what they can do to this Bears defense today.
And David, you mentioned that opening game against San Francisco. One thing I recall with that was, you know, Justin Fields wore gloves in that game. Mm-hmm. And then I think there was even a brief stretch where he removed the gloves and then put the gloves back on for some reason in that game. A bit, you know, the very wet conditions that were there, kind of a monsoon-like game for stretches at Soldier Field that day. So I wonder, I would imagine he'll go back to the gloves today, you know, likely. I mean, you know, how long can your bare skin really even be out there, you know, without gloves on as a quarterback in a game like this? So I would guess we'll see Justin Fields in gloves today, but he did, you know, just talking about experience and just sort of filing away information and having data points that you can kind of harken back to. That's a big part of just the growth of all young football players, but specific to the QB who's handling the ball on every snap. Justin Fields did have at least that opening game to see how he does or doesn't like playing with gloves. My impressions, because I don't recall seeing him in gloves again since that game, was that he doesn't necessarily dig it, and I don't recall at any point in his college career, watched every one of his games, seeing him playing gloves at Ohio State. But that opening game was just, it was conditions that he felt like it was going to be useful. It's not like the offense did a whole lot. Really, the second half turned a bit when he did start to use his legs a bit more. We obviously know how the storyline of the season has played out in that regard here. But even something like that, all right, I had gloves on in wet conditions. Maybe I didn't love that. Now it's just about cold, frigid conditions and whether or not gloves help with that. What size of glove? Do I maybe even go with a glove just on the non-throwing hand but not on the throwing hand? And there's a lot of data that will be collected by guys experiencing this for the first time today.
That game back in September ended with a body slide in the end zone. Maybe today will be a snow angel victorious. Who knows? It could be the symmetry of the
maybe
season.
Maybe more of an ice angel, I think. It's too cold to snow right now.
Just do some ice skating, twirling or something.
Guys, the challenge, though, increased greatly because the Bills' offense, fourth in the NFL in scoring, second in total yards, and the Bears' defense will be without Jalen Johnson, placed on injured reserve. A little bit of a surprise. I thought he was going to try to play with a club that made the decision yesterday on Friday before the game. Jack Sanborn also placed on injured reserve. So, guys, you look at this defensive challenge, already a great one. And now, without two defenders who have had very strong seasons and are among your more reliable players, they're without Jalen Johnson, Jack Sanborn today. Somebody's got to step up, but everybody is got to step up, essentially.
Yeah, it's just again, like I said, it could be a long game. This could be a Josh Allen, you know, record-setting game that with the lack of pass rush that we have up front, with the DBs being gone, Stephon Diggs having a great year. It's just a scary game, and I'm hoping the win just is whipping, that it makes it the neutralizer, to be honest with you. And I talk every week on the show. I look at, you know, the matchups and the game plans and things like that. And we looked at the Eagles last week, and I predicted a 41-17 blowout. The Bears came out and, you know, made it a game. But today is kind of the similar thing. You just look at their roster, you look at what they've done all year, and it's just not good going against these Bears. But I got to give the Bears credit with the way they've played. The way they played last week, with the hustle they gave, the intensity they gave, the two first letters of the Hits principle, they've still got that going. So maybe that can keep them in the ball game. Maybe the ball can bounce the right way, but it's just kind of scary when you look at it on paper with this Bills offense going against this Bears defense.
And you could certainly make the case they had the T going as well, with the takeaways and the smart situation.
Forgot about that.
The Hits principle appeared to be on display last week, Patrick. It did.
You're right.
The opponent today because of their quarterback, just the massive size of Josh Allen. You think maybe he wouldn't be as affected. He certainly, you know, he's accustomed to it already, like he has been talking about. But just physically, you know, he's a large mammal with what appear to be enormous hands. And so even if the football is a bit more slippery, maybe it doesn't affect Josh Allen in the same way. But if nothing else, he knows that. He's got that backlog of data to recognize how he needs to adjust, how these offensive skill players that he's played with frequently in recent years here, how they all need to adjust together. Like I was talking about the rhythm and timing of the passing attack, he and Stephon Diggs have a backlog of data for how differently Stephon Diggs moves, how differently the route trees time up in conditions like this. And, you know, like you referenced, the Bears defenders, you know, were already struggling here until recent games. I mean, it's gratifying to see what they've been able to do over the last couple of games, you know, and looking at Green Bay with the depleted secondary and still no pass rush. Looking at what they did, especially the secondary against Philadelphia with a little pass rush, still not much. I did think Travis Gibson took a step last week. I liked some things I saw from him in the game, but overall still a limited pass rush to come up with a couple of interceptions against a QB who generally doesn't throw them. I've been impressed with some of the strides the defense has made, but yeah, with no Jack Sanborn, with no Jalen Johnson, now the guy I've kind of been starting to view as the Jack Sanborn of the secondary, Jalen Jones, who's been really impressive lately as a rookie undrafted free agent. There'll be more and more opportunities for him, it would appear.
So it's 3-11 against 11-3, and the stakes are very different. The Bears playing for draft status and position, and right now they're second overall, and they lose today, they'll maintain that going into the final two games. The Bills, meanwhile, can clinch the AFC East with a victory today. So the two teams headed in very opposite directions this season. And with the challenge of the elements presenting itself to both locker rooms, that's what they do have in common. So inside both locker rooms, you guys have been in that situation, as you both have alluded to. Is the big decision sleeves or no sleeves? Is the big decision Vaseline or what? How do you prepare, and how many choices are there when you're planning how to brave the elements?
Vaseline's a must.
Yes.
Gotta have the Vaseline.
Yes.
There's no doubt about that. Yeah, it gives that additional layer of coating just beyond the skin. And normally what I would do, Patrick, I would at least go out for warm-ups with no sleeves. And, you know, I think at this point in my life, I'm not a full-on meathead anymore, but certainly back when I was still playing the game, I had more meathead in me then than I do now. And so I would go out with no sleeves and warm-ups. I wouldn't usually do the complete shirtless deal. You know, I had a lot to be proud of up top, but I wasn't really just trying to show off in warm-ups. But I did want to see, can I get by without sleeves? And if I couldn't, then I wasn't ashamed to throw some, you know, some kind of dry fit, you know, super tight sleeves on or something like that. But I would at least try to make the attempt with just gobs and gobs of Vaseline all up and down my rippling biceps. Can I go out there in warm-ups and just survive without it? If I couldn't, then, yeah, I'm going to go back in the locker room and throw an extra layer on.
I got a funny story about sleeves. So the first part of my career, I guess I would call myself kind of a practice squad O-lineman. So I'd go to O-line meetings and do all that kind of stuff. So I considered myself an O-lineman as well as being a long snapper. Well, Big Cat Williams would not allow you to wear sleeves. You were not allowed to wear sleeves. So, you know, I'm long snapping my first couple games in the cold, and I look at him finally. I think it was the third or fourth cold game, and I'm a kid from the South, and I don't know what's going on. I'm like, Cat, I've got to put sleeves on, man. I got to be able to do my job. I can't go out there with these little noodle arms out there freezing like that. And he just looks at me. He's like, all right, you're allowed to wear sleeves. So from then on, I always wear sleeves. I didn't care. I just cared about doing my job correctly. And it was whether I was going to wear one sleeve or two sleeves. You know, how thick are you going to go with your toppings? And then one other little quick trick that I learned from Jeff Jaeger, the old Bears kicker. Mm. You know the athlete's foot spray?
Yeah.
You spray that all over your feet, so that gives you another layer or barrier or whatever to kind of keep that heat in your shoes. And that honestly, well, maybe it was the placebo effect, but I felt like it worked. So that was something I would do. So maybe you can tell the young guys of the Bears right now, go in there to the training room and just spray that stuff all over your feet before you put your socks on.
Quickly before we break, how much judging goes on in terms of who's wearing sleeves, who's not wearing sleeves, and any psychological advantage? Because I would suggest, or I would imagine that there is a little bit of peer pressure involved.
Like I said, it was back to Big Cat Nolan and them. You didn't wear sleeves, and I've saw the last couple
group.
Years. Yeah, it's a position, and then I saw Charles Leno put sleeves on. I think is the first one since Cat Nolan and all those guys left. And I'm like, well, I guess it's out the door now. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah, O-line, they're usually looking to be in unison more than any other position on the team. You know, they're going to try to dress the same. They're going to hang out. They're going to move in the same, at the same pace, all those things. D-linemen are a little bit more individualistic in that regard. But, you know, you do want some unison, some unity. But the D-line wouldn't, you know, you might make fun of each other. But as far as, like, going out there dressed in unison, that's not as much of a thing with D-line as it is with O-line and maybe some other position groups too. But it usually, if there's a lot of ribbing that's going to go on, if there's an attempt to be in unison, it'll normally, because there's just so much of a volume of football players on a team, it's usually going to break down by position group.
Right now, it's, I think, 2 degrees at Soldier Field with wind chills in the teens. It's going to maybe
we're above zero.
Okay. We're above zero, so I think that's positive. According, depending on where you're standing, maybe, depending on how the wind is hitting you, will depend on what the temperature is or how uncomfortable you may be. You can stay comfortable, Bears fans, with new Zing Zing Bloody Mary canned cocktails with premium vodka already in the can. They're always ready. Perfect for your game day tailgates. Be careful out there. Please Zing Zang responsibly. All kinds of advice and all kinds of directions that are now in place for today's game, because it will be difficult. I believe they're allowing blankets in the game for fans going to Soldier Field to see the Bears and the Bills.
David, real quick, another quick tip. Bring a sleeping bag. Sit in a sleeping bag. You bring it all the way up to your chin, and you're in your sleeping bag. You dress warm, and then you just take care of your face with your hat and your face mask. But you bring a sleeping bag and just zip it all the way up and sit in it. I'm telling you, it's a trick. So listeners out there, if you got a sleeping bag, if you're allowed to bring blankets, my wife used to bring it, and that was her little cheating thing she would do to get through the cold weather games. But bring a sleeping bag.
So then do you actually pull the long snapper IPA into the sleeping bag with you?
Yes, you can do that. Yes, with a straw.
All right, with a straw. Gotcha.
And the offense will put you to sleep, so you can always take a nap. We're going to get to a lot of stuff. We're going to compare Josh Allen and Justin Fields and the Bears and the Bills. And is this what the Bears envision being one day? Last week it was a comparison to the Eagles. This week it's the Bills. It's two pretty good teams to model if you want. We're going to talk to Mark Grody at 9:40, and as I said, Steve Tasker next hour, Dan Pompey in the 11 o'clock hour. This is the Bears pregame show presented by Bet Rivers, the official sportsbook of the Chicago Bears. Download the Bet Rivers app today. I am David Haw in for Mully, along with Patrick Manley and Anthony Heron. We'll be here until kickoff right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You know, we know this is bear weather. That's, exciting for us as, you know, the Chicago Bears.
We're back with more of the Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook pregame show on Sports Radio 670 The Score with David Haw, Patrick Manley, and Anthony Heron. Brought to you by Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the Chicago Bears. Download the Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook app today.
Welcome back to the Bears pregame show presented by Bet Rivers. Download the Bet Rivers app today. Right here on 670 The Score, Chicago Sports Radio. Bears and Bills at noon on the lakefront. Going to be a cold one. Matt Eberflus alluded to bear weather. We hear it all the time, Patrick. You heard it throughout your tenure, the longest tenure of any Chicago Bear. You heard it more than any other Bears player. So tell me, fact, fiction, myth, reality, where are you on the concept of bear weather?
David, I think it depends on who you play. So it's a tough answer to that, but Anthony, you talked about when you went out to Philly with the 04 Falcons. I remember the 05 Falcons when they came here with Michael Vick. They walked out of the tunnel in that pregame, trying to go shirtless, sleeveless, whatever, And they just, their head went down. They're like, oh, blank. And you knew it right then. You knew it right then that we had him. So, yes, there's bear weather, but it depends on who you're playing. The bear weather, you can go back to the stats when we played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when we were in the Central Division. We would dominate them even when we were bad and they were good. It depends on who you're playing. So I think there is no such thing against the bear weather if you're playing like a Pittsburgh or you're playing the Bills or somebody like that that plays in similar weather. But there have been other games that you just see other teams walk out there. Like you talked about the 13 Cowboys. You knew they were frigid. They just were not interested in being there at all. So overall, numbers-wise, I don't think it probably doesn't show, but I have seen people's faces and body language truly dip down when they walk out of that tunnel and know they've got to play in this weather today.
And there's a reason that coaches try to keep their teams, when it's available to them, coaches will try to keep their teams practicing in some weather environment as well. Now, you know, if it's constantly 6 degrees outside, they're not going to spend the entire week outside practicing in it. But, you know, even Matt Eberflus earlier, you know, before it was even officially winter, he had the Bears. Even in weeks where they were going to play indoors, he was still doing something I thought was a good plan. Just keeping the guys' bodies acclimated to being outside. There hasn't been any extended stretch of time here where they've just gone inside just to avoid the cold, the chill. And so you at least, if you're going to have opponents, you know, coming in here in this time of year, which, you know, we'll see. Hopefully the Bears grow to a point in the seasons to come where they're back to playing home games in January and having opponents come into Soldier Field, then there is at least that advantage to keeping your players acclimated to that. So bear weather, to Patrick's point, really depends on the opponent. Is there bear weather when you're facing the Packers? Not so much. You know, is there bear weather when you're facing the Bills? Not so much, at least not as an advantage. But if you're facing opponents, if the Dolphins roll up here,
sure,
then yeah, that should be an advantage for you, because not only just their mentality, but their body just won't be accustomed to trying to perform in the conditions that they're in right now.
So temperatures are one thing, wind quite another, and that could dictate the course of the game and the game plans, I think, more than anything. And so, but you look at these two quarterbacks, and I'm not sure if it matters as much, because if they aren't able to throw, and I do think that both guys have the arm strength to make some of the wind concerns kind of a moot point, but you look stylistically at Josh Allen and you look at Justin Fields. Justin Fields, the seventh leading rusher in the league, 1,000 yards on his way to breaking the all-time record for quarterback rushing yards in a season. We expect that to happen in the final three games. Josh Allen, he's got 705 rushing yards himself. He's got the body, and we have seen what he can do with his legs, and he certainly has that arm talent. But when you look at these two guys, weather aside, weather included, however you do it, when you compare, is that a fair comp when you look at Josh Allen and Justin Fields? And are there things to be learned or gleaned from the way that the Bills developed and were patient with Josh Allen and the way the Bears are developing Justin Fields?
You take that, Ant.
It's the comp that I was even utilizing in the Mitch Trubisky era here in Chicago. Josh Allen was one of the quarterbacks that I was pointing to even at that time, guys, just saying that if the Bears would just utilize that sort of methodical approach of not saying the offense needs to all flow through and or be on the shoulders of the quarterback, that would at least have given Mitch a chance for survival, you know, a chance for development. Those first couple of years of Josh Allen's career, and even into year three with his inconsistencies, he made a whole lot more plays in year three than he did through his first two seasons, but the inconsistency was still more wild in his third season. And there was a lot of Bills Twitter that thought Josh Allen was trash, and that's one of those things I kept trying to remind Bears fans of, even in comparison with Mitchell Trubisky, is that, man, the entire offense under Matt Nagy went through the quarterback, and it called for the QB to make so many decisions pre-snap and post-snap, called for the QB to constantly make so many plays, and you got to be a unique individual to step in that early in your career and be able to handle that, be able to manage that. And Mitch obviously was not a unique individual, and so why put all that on him when you see the Bills with perhaps the most physically gifted quarterback, well, since John Elway, you know, one of the most physically talented guys who have ever taken a snap from center. And the Bills are like, no, we got a good defense. We're going to run the hell out of the football. We'll eventually start to surround you with some more playmakers. But for right now, we are paring everything down and really just taking the ball out of Josh Allen's hands and then using those unique physical traits to be able to make some plays and move the ball. And I think it's a lesson that so much of the National Football League could learn from it. It's a lesson that even going back, you know, like early in Ben Roethlisberger's career, early in Russell Wilson's career, we have seen other franchises with young quarterbacks be able to take that approach and have success with it. Some teams, if you've got a rookie and it's a full rebuild and that sort of thing, then, yeah, you can kind of throw caution to the wind. But when you're trying to win some games, preferably, then, yes, it makes all the sense in the world to see how methodically, and especially with Josh Allen was a really raw passer when he came out of Wyoming as well, and that's been the most impressive part of his development is the way that the trajectory of his passing game has come along so much.
Stephon Diggs helped, didn't it, Patrick?
Yeah, 100%. And I think it's somebody that could help, you know, and obviously Mitch Morse helped. I mean, just building an O-line around him as well helped. But to look at these two guys and watch their playing style, Josh Allen is a blast to watch on all 22 and watch him play because he's super entertaining just like Justin Fields is. But I see their playing styles very similar with the design runs called. Josh Allen's maybe a little more physical. I wish he would get down a little bit more and not take the hits. But, I mean, shoot, the guy had a quarterback power, and he's stiff arming a D lineman while he's going through the hole. I mean, it's just impressive because it just shows you how big and powerful he is. But I think their playing style is very similar. And Josh Allen, when he was younger, struggled reading defenses and understanding defenses. And now you can see him pre-snap knowing what's going to happen, what's going to take place, where the ball should go. There are some times he takes some chances. He might throw some 50-50 balls up that might be advantageous for the Bears today because there are some times that you're like, why is he making that throw? But he's giving his guys an opportunity. This is something maybe Justin Fields could look at, and us as Bears fans to see the trajectory of Josh Allen could be this. Hopefully, be the same for Justin Fields, just because their playing style is similar.
I also think it's interesting. There could be a lesson not to be learned, but maybe remembered. Is that there's a lot of hand wringing over quarterbacks and paired with coordinators, and the role that, you know, the stable coaching staffs have on the development of young quarterbacks like Justin Fields, like Josh Allen. And so Josh Allen, though, I think has ascended to the point where he is almost, and I don't want to be disrespectful to the coaches in Buffalo, but I don't know that he needs that one guy, the Brian Daboll. He has succeeded. Now, he did not have a great start to this season, but Josh Allen is who he is because of his talent and skill set, more so than he is a product of any scheme or coaching staff or coordinator. And I think that you can envision the day where the same is true for Justin Fields. And I think that he is on that arc. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where another comparison is probably worth remembering, because we're going to have this discussion at some point. I think Luke Getsy, if not this year, next offseason, could be in line for a head coaching position. That's what happens when you're good. And I don't think that's something you have to worry about or dread because of examples like we're seeing today with Josh Allen.
Right. I think it's a great point, Dave, and I'm glad you brought it up. And Justin Fields has even referenced, at some point in the season, just the fact that he has been in a different offensive system each of the last 3 years. And there is some difficulty in being able to manage that, while at the same time, you know, an elite-level talent like a Josh Allen, an elite-level talent like Justin Fields, you want them to be able to break through that regardless, while at the same time, continuity, maybe at least for a couple of seasons. You know, if Luke Getsy is here, and who knows in the NFL, man, like, guys, we're seeing it lately. If you had coffee with some guy that some other owner loves and is like, all right, you must be that same dude, so I'm going to hire you. But hopefully, if we get at least a couple of years here with Luke Getsy and Justin Fields, and there's some continuity season over season, then that does smooth out the development arc for Justin Fields, where he does continue to build off of the system in the way that we're watching him build off of it in season here. You know, it's certainly not impossible. I think Justin Fields is going to be successful regardless. But, you know, to have four different play callers in your ear or signaling to you for four consecutive seasons, I'd rather not, you know, have the Bears quarterback be in that situation. But if he is, I still think he'll be fine.
Yeah, and like coaches are like players. Some coaches are better than some players, right? You might get lucky. Whatever position you are in, quarterback is the number one position. If you walk into a situation or a team and you get that coach to be your guy, that really knows how to work with you, that is one of those elite coaches, and hopefully Luke Getsy is that. Seems like he is right now, learning how to use Justin Fields' skill set, and it seems like he's been growing throughout the year. So if he's fortunate to have that guy to build his base with being Luke Getsy, then he's lucky. Justin Fields is lucky, and then we're lucky as well.
And we are lucky to be joined by Mark Grody from Soldier Field to find out what the weather's like, how warmly he is dressed, how many layers does he have when we come back here on the Scores pregame show presented by Bet Rivers, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more of the Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook pregame show on Sports Radio 670 The Score with David Haw, Patrick Manley, and Anthony Herron. Brought to you by Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the Chicago Bears. Download the Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook app today.
Welcome back. Hope you're staying warm this morning on this Christmas Eve morning and getting ready for Bears-Bills on the lakefront at Soldier Field. I'm David Haw along with Patrick Manley, Anthony Herron. The Bears pregame show presented by Bet Rivers up until kickoff, and we go out to Soldier Field and we welcome in on our guest hotline sponsored by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. It's Grody time. Mark Grody, how are you this morning? Set a scene.
I am doing well. I am out on the field right now. Just finished doing the pregame show over on the network, which is inside. A fresh talking.
We apparently have Grody in an igloo.
He has the worst phone. This is like the third week in a row. He's got to pick it up, or somebody's got to pick it up. I don't know what's going on.
I think that we could forgive him this week because
you're right.
His teeth were chattering. Can you imagine how hard the signal is to get from the igloo out into the Score studios?
He probably wishes he had an igloo.
I think you're right. On days like today, I think you would rather be anywhere but in the face of the wind, biting on the sidelines. Because you know what? Unlike the players, guys, Grody can't run around. He can just kind of walk fast.
He could choose to, but I suppose it's not likely that he would be doing so. He's not going to be chasing anyone around. But he could choose. If he can choose to sit on the heated bench, he can choose to at least do some high knees or some karaoke or something just to warm things up a little bit.
I need to see that.
It appears Mark Grody has stepped out of the igloo for a better signal. Grody, are you there?
Yes, I am here. I was drawn to the heat of the bench as you guys were just talking, but they're just now activating it. But actually, I am standing on Soldier Field right now. Yes, it is cold, and the wind, as we all know, living in Chicago is the real trick. And that's what's hitting me right now. So that is going to be the part that makes everybody feel cold and could have an effect on the game. It's interesting watching some of the offensive linemen trickle out. Like I saw the Sam Mustipher, I think starting now there's going to be something called the Sam Mustipher Award. He was the first person out here just about 10 minutes ago, came out for about 5 minutes and said, "I'm good." And then he goes backstage, and then out comes Larry Borum. Larry Borum coming out here doing a little bit of work, and he goes back inside. So I'll be honest with you, I am literally the only person standing on Soldier Field right now.
All right, since we got nothing to talk about, well, let's start with this action. Maybe you can help the listener that's coming down to the game. Let's break down your cold weather gear, what you're wearing, to see if you can help figure out what to navigate and what to bring and not to bring.
Okay. You're going to love this, Pat, because I was just given via Tony Medlin from Brandon Faber, one of those, there's a weird name. It's kind of called like a baklava, hat. Yeah, is that what it's called?
Yes.
So get one of those for you. You don't want it, it covers your head, the side of your face, and your neck. You don't want any exposure for your, like, just your eyes. Just allow your eyes to veer through. So that's what I'm going with a winter hat over the baklava. I also accepted the advice of putting extra plastic bags on my feet over the wool socks. I repeat, wool socks and good footwear. Whatever your best soles are, like you need as much distance between your foot and the ground, wherever you are sitting or whatever the case may be. I've things that I'm going to tinker with on my face, and that is in my bag, and then a million of those little hot pads. Those things work. The little things you see at the checkout at Walgreens, grab yourself some of those, stick them in your boots, stick them in your gloves, and pat your face occasionally with them. This is a nice treat.
Smart move.
Yeah.
Maybe stick them in a few unseemly places as well, just to make
hey,
sure.
Whatever, hey, Big Ed, whatever
you got to stay warm everywhere. You got to stay warm everywhere.
Whatever you got to do, man. That's what today is all about. It's whatever you got to do to stay warm. So, and I wish I could give you a better idea of what. Now some Bills players have come out here, and they are now screaming cold. So a few of the Bills players are out here, but I am looking forward to see. What I want to know is if my guy, linebacker Matt Adams. Actually, I don't know if Matt Adams is playing, but he typically warms up shirtless. I wonder if he would do it today.
What do you recall, Groats, about – I was trying to remember earlier in the pregame show here. I recall Justin Fields in that opening game in the pseudo-monsoon at Soldier Field. He wore gloves, and I think there was even a brief stretch in that game where he, like, took the gloves off and then put them back on. And I don't recall that he's worn gloves since then. And part of my – in my head, I'm thinking, okay, he must not like – wearing gloves, and it's probably a day-to-day where he's going
I think what I remember is him saying that was one of the first times that he had worn gloves in his career. So I don't remember following up with him about whether he likes them or not. So it'll be really interesting, to see how what he does to keep himself warm. I mean, he's basically got a team of people on the sideline who will help him, put the jacket on him, get some hot pads going. So he will be well taken care of. I'm looking forward to seeing how he manages to stay warm and keep, he's got to keep the arm loose. He's got to keep the hands warm. And maybe that'll all just be remedied by handing the ball off to Khalil Herbert and David Montgomery all day.
Talking with Mark Grody from Soldier Field here on the Bears pregame show presented by Bet Rivers. So Grody, what the Bears are doing without today. Jalen Johnson, Jack Sanborn on injured reserve. This is a game where the elements might level the playing field, figuratively speaking. What kind of game do you expect?
Man, I mean, I want to say it's going to be a grinded out, low-scoring game. But as Joe Ostrowski reminded me, that when in the win game, as he put it, last year, that New England-Buffalo game, Josh Allen threw the ball 30 times in that game, the game in which the Patriots basically, I think, threw the ball like three or four times in that contest. So I don't trust the Buffalo Bills to slow down their offense, but if this, and it's really kicking up right now, I don't know if you guys can hear it, but there is a massive crosswind blowing across Soldier Field right now. If that continues, I mean, I would imagine that the Bills would even go a little bit more conservative. So I'm always skeptical because it's easy to predict low scoring, but it seems like weird things do happen in sports where we all think we got it figured out, and then it turns out to be like a normal game as if it was in normal conditions. But I will say it will be a low scoring game, and especially from the Bears' side, there'll be a lot of running, and I would imagine Justin Fields probably will be close to 100 yards rushing again today.
Man, I don't miss those games. You talk about that way. I'm so happy to be sitting here right now. Hey, you talked to Cole Kmet this week. What did he have to say about the Bears?
Well, I got into a little bit of the personal stuff with Cole Kmet this week, Pat, and that's about where he stands and where he thinks he is in the future of this team. He told me that he feels like he has progressed a ton this year. I mean, obviously he's not there yet. You still need to call him a number one tight end. You still need a lot more from Cole Kmet. But I even asked him about, this is year three for him, so he's under contract for another year. And I asked him about that. I said, do you think about your future here? And he said, obviously he's like, I don't think about that a lot. But he did say, hopefully the Bears are seeing in me that I think that I have made. And that hopefully that, essentially said, he's hoping that his future is with the Chicago Bears. And that, like I said, that'll come into play more next year. But once these final three games are up, those are the things that we're going to be talking about. And we're going to find out which guys, for real, Ryan Poles is really interested in securing futures for. And, depending on what they think of him, how they are evaluating him, he could be a guy that they sit down with over the off season. And I know that they love, like, in terms of makeup, they love Cole Kmet. I know that, like, in terms of the hits principle and, he's starting to get into the leadership. We know how upfront he is with the media. I think, like, David Montgomery, he's sort of their type of guy in terms of the things like the hits principle. I don't know how they evaluate him as a player, though.
Great stuff, Mark Grody. Stay warm today. Do a terrific job for WBBM on the sideline at Soldier Field. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon.
Merry Christmas, Groats. Mark Grody from Soldier Field. Wow. That is going to be, and Pat Manley has quite the shirt. If you could only see us on the Twitch stream, boy, that is a missed opportunity right there.
And we'll I'll post something on Instagram.
All right, do.
It's a very it's an interesting Christmas shirt, sweater. I don't know what you call it. Just wanted to give you guys a close up to it.
We'll get into a little bit of everything. We'll talk a little offensive line because the Bears are yet facing another configuration against the Bills today at Soldier Field. There's cold weather. There's changes. There's all kinds of things to discuss. This is the Scores Bears pregame show presented by Bet Rivers. We'll be back. I'm David Hall along with Patrick Manley and Anthony Herron until kickoff right here. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more of the Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook pregame show on Sports Radio 670 The Score with David Haw, Patrick Manley, and Anthony Herron. Brought to you by Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook, official sportsbook of the Chicago Bears. Download the Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook app today.
Welcome back. Hope you're staying warm this morning on this Christmas Eve morning and getting ready for Bears-Bills on the lakefront at Soldier Field. I'm David Haw along with Patrick Manley, Anthony Herron. The Bears pregame show presented by Bet Rivers up until kickoff, and we go out to Soldier Field, and we welcome in on our guest hotline sponsored by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. It's Grody time. Mark Grody, how are you this morning? Set a scene.
I am doing well. I am out on the field right now. Just finished doing the pregame show over on the network, which is inside. A fresh talking.
We apparently have Grody in an igloo.
He has the worst phone. This is like the third week in a row. He's got to pick it up, or somebody's got to pick it up. I don't know what's going on.
I think that we could forgive him this week because
you're right.
His teeth were chattering. Can you imagine how hard the signal is to get from the igloo out into the Score studios?
He probably wishes he had an igloo.
I think you're right. On days like today, I think you would rather be anywhere but in the face of the wind, biting on the sidelines, because you know what? Unlike the players, guys, Grody can't run around. He can just
He could choose to, but I suppose it's not likely that he would be doing so. He's not going to be chasing anyone around, but he could choose. If he can choose to sit on the heated bench, he can choose to at least do some high knees or some karaoke or something just to warm things up a little bit.
I need to see that.
It appears Mark Grody has stepped out of the igloo for a better signal. Grody, are you there?
Yes, I am here. I was drawn to the heat of the bench as you guys were just talking, but they're just now activating it. But actually, I am standing on Soldier Field right now. Yes, it is cold, and the wind, as we all know, living in Chicago is the real trick. And that's what's hitting me right now. So that is going to be the part that makes everybody feel cold and could have an effect on the game. It's interesting watching some of the offensive linemen trickle out. Like I saw the Sam Mustipher, I think starting now there's going to be something called the Sam Mustipher Award. He was the first person out here just about 10 minutes ago, came out for about 5 minutes and said, "I'm good." And then he goes backstage, and then out comes Larry Borum. Larry Borum coming out here doing a little bit of work, and he goes back inside. So I'll be honest with you, I am literally the only person standing on Soldier Field right now.
All right, since we got nothing to talk about, well, let's start with this action. Maybe you can help the listener that's coming down to the game. Let's break down your cold weather gear, what you're wearing, to see if you can help figure out what to navigate and what to bring and not to bring.
Okay. You're going to love this, Pat, because I was just given – via Tony Medlin from Brandon Faber, one of those, there's a weird name. It's kind of called like a baklava, little hat. Yeah, is that what it's called?
Yes.
So get one of those for you. You don't want it, it covers your head, the side of your face, and your neck. You don't want any exposure for your, like, just your eyes. Just allow your eyes to veer through. So that's what I'm going with a winter hat over the baklava. I also accepted the advice of putting an extra plastic bags on my feet over the wool socks. I repeat, wool socks and good footwear. Whatever your best soles are, like you need as much distance between your foot and the ground, wherever you are sitting or whatever the case may be. I've things that I'm going to tinker with on my face, and that is in my bag. And then a million of those little hot pads. Those things work. Those things work. The little things you see at the checkout at Walgreens, grab yourself some of those, stick them in your boots, stick them in your gloves, and pat your face occasionally with them. Just as a nice treat.
Smart move.
Yeah.
Maybe stick them in a few unseemly places as well, just to make
hey,
sure.
Whatever, hey, Big Ed, whatever you
got to stay warm everywhere. You got to stay warm everywhere.
Whatever you got to do, man. That's what today is all about. It's whatever you got to do to stay warm. So, and I wish I could give you a better idea of what. Now some Bills players have come out here, and they are now screaming cold. So a few of the Bills players are out here, but I am looking forward to see. What I want to know is if my guy, linebacker Matt Adams, actually I don't know if Matt Adams is playing, but he typically warms up shirtless. I wonder if he would do it today.
What do you recall, Groats, about – I was trying to remember earlier in the pregame show here. I recall Justin Fields in that opening game in the pseudo-monsoon at Soldier Field. He wore gloves, and I think there was even a brief stretch in that game where he, like, took the gloves off and then put them back on. And I don't recall that he's worn gloves since then. And part of my – in my head, I'm thinking, okay, he must not like wearing gloves, and it's probably a day-to-day where he's going
What I remember is him saying that was one of the first times that he had worn gloves in his career. So I don't remember following up with him about whether he likes them or not. So it'll be really interesting, to see how what he does to keep himself warm. I mean, he's basically got a team of people on the sideline who will help him, put the jacket on him. Get some hot pads going. So he will be he will be well taken care of. I'm looking forward to seeing how he manages to stay warm and he's got to keep the arm loose. He's got to keep the hands warm. And maybe that'll all just be remedied by handing the ball off to Khalil Herbert and David Montgomery all day.
Talking with Mark Grody from Soldier Field here on the Bears pregame show presented by Bet Rivers. So Grody, what the Bears are doing without today, Jalen Johnson, Jack Sanborn on injured reserve. This is a game where the elements might level the playing field, figuratively speaking. What kind of game do you expect?
Man, I mean, I want to say it's going to be a grinded out, low-scoring game. But as Joe Ostrowski reminded me, that when in the win game, as he put it, last year, that New England-Buffalo game, Josh Allen threw the ball 30 times in that game, the game in which the Patriots basically, I think, threw the ball like three or four times in that contest. So I don't trust the Buffalo Bills to slow down their offense, but if this, and it's really kicking up right now, I don't know if you guys can hear it, but there is a massive crosswind blowing across Soldier Field right now. If that continues, I mean, I would imagine that the Bills would even go a little bit more conservative. So I'm always skeptical because it's easy to predict low scoring, but it seems like weird things do happen in sports where we all think we got it figured out, and then it turns out to be like a normal game as if it was in normal conditions. But I will say it will be a low scoring game, and especially from the Bears' side, there'll be a lot of running, and I would imagine Justin Fields probably will be close to 100 yards rushing again today.
Man, I don't miss those games. You talk about that. I'm so happy to be sitting here right now. Hey, you talked to Cole Kmet this week. What did he have to say about the Bears?
Well, I got into a little bit of the personal stuff with Cole Kmet this week, Pat, and that's about where he stands and where he thinks he is in the future of this team. He told me that he feels like he has progressed a ton this year. I mean, obviously he's not there yet. You still need to call him a number one tight end. You still need a lot more from Cole Kmet. But I even asked him about, this is year three for him, so he's under contract for another year. And I asked him about that. I said, do you think about your future here? And he said, obviously he's like, I don't think about that a lot, but he did say, hopefully the Bears are seeing in me that I think that I have made. And that hopefully that, essentially said, he's hoping that his future is with the Chicago Bears. And that, like I said, that'll come into play more next year. But once these final three games are up, those are the things that we're going to be talking about. And we're going to find out which guys, for real, Ryan Poles is really interested in securing futures for And, you know, depending on what they think of him, how they are evaluating him, he could be a guy that they sit down with over the off season. And I know that they love, like, in terms of makeup, they love Cole Kmet. I know that. Like, in terms of the hits principle and, you know, he's starting to get into the leadership. We know how upfront he is with the media. I think, like, David Montgomery, he's sort of their type of guy in terms of the you know, things like the hits principle. I don't know how they evaluate him as a player, though.
Great stuff, Mark Grody. Stay warm today. Do a terrific job for WBBM on the sideline at Soldier Field. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you soon. Right,
Merry Groats. Christmas, Groats.
Oh,
Mark
wow.
Grody from Soldier Field. Wow. That is going to be, and Pat Manley has quite the shirt. If you could only see us on the Twitch stream, boy, that is a missed opportunity right there.
And we'll I'll post something on Instagram.
I do.
It's a very, it's an interesting Christmas shirt, sweater. I don't know what you call it.
We'll
just wanted to give you guys
that.
A close up to it.
We'll get into a little bit of everything. We'll talk a little offensive line because the Bears are yet facing another configuration against the Bills today at Soldier Field. There's cold weather. There's changes. There's all kinds of things to discuss. This is the Scores Bears pregame show presented by Bet Rivers. We'll be back. I'm David Hall along with Patrick Manley and Anthony Herron until kickoff right here, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.